This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, welcome, church. Again, it's good to be together again with all of you. So thank you today just for joining us. It's my privilege to share with you just what God's laid on my heart this week. And I really do consider it a privilege just to be sharing with you. So I love this text we're going to jump into today. I'm going to tip my hand in a second what that is. But if you haven't been here, or if you have, we are in the messy series. We're talking about the mess in our world, the mess that people bring, the mess that we are sometimes. And today I get the privilege of bringing that again. Last week, if you didn't catch it, Pastor Ron shared a great message talking about John the Baptist and the one thing that John the Baptist was sold out for. Little teaser. So if you didn't catch it, jump on. We got it on our YouTube page, or you can listen to it on the podcast as well. Catch up with the rest of the series right there. Today, we are actually going to be jumping in with this question. I'm going to keep answering that same question of addressing the mess in us. But here's my question for you. Have you ever felt alone in the trials or problems in your life? That might be a redundant question or obvious question, because I know I have definitely felt alone, even in the midst of a room. So even if you are at home today, or you're watching this later, or you're here today right now, that could be a yes. I feel alone in the troubles and the problems that I've experienced or I'm in right now. Today, I hope to answer that question, and to do that, we're going to look at a couple of guys. I got to talk to you about who they are first. So this is a group of guys that they were kicked out of their country, and they were sent to another country, and this country is Babylon. They're sent to Babylon, and they're under a new ruler, a new king, a new president, if you will. But there's a new person that's in charge there, and they are under that leadership. And God has sent them together with all their people, but they are kind of singled out. Now, maybe you've heard of them before, maybe not. So I'm going to share a couple names, see if that rings a bell. Daniel, these other names may not be. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are their actual names. They often jumps over them, but maybe you know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys did some awesome things in the book of Daniel. If you have not read through the book of Daniel lately, just take a second and read through it later. It's incredible what God does through these men and the people in Daniel. So some of the stories you might have heard of: Daniel in the lion's den. This guy gets thrown into a pit of lions and survives by the grace of God. All of them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all decide they're not going to eat the food from the king's table, which when the king tells you to do something, they decide they're not going to do it though. And God protects them in it and actually changes how everybody is fed. All the people that are like them are going to be fed. Awesome things. And then today, they are actually put in a spot where they're given this life ultimatum: bow or die. And that's the story we're going to jump into today. So if you've got your Bible, your phone, maybe you can pull it up to Daniel 3. If you don't have it, we're still going to be in Daniel 3, so I will read it for you, and it'll be up on the screen. We're going to jump in. Daniel 3, 4 through 6 says, "Then a herald shouted, 'People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the hort, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.'" All right, so I got to talk about this statue, because we're not gonna read verse by verse through all this. So it says in the verses right before this, the statue is 90 feet tall. So to help you get perspective, there was a telephone pole in the back. It is now toppled over. But it would be about 2.5 times the height of a telephone pole. That's 90 feet. Or the distance, if you're a baseball fan — I think baseball's still going, right? Baseball fan, it's the distance between one base to the next base. That's 90 feet. Or maybe for some of you that are kids here or kids watching later, It's two times the height of a brachiosaurus. You older kids, that's a dinosaur, okay? It's the long neck. Two brachiosauruses stacked on top of each other. That is the height of this statue that King Nebuchadnezzar built. Now, it's a gold one, 9 feet wide. It's huge. It's not like this standing in downtown little statue of a person that remembers. It's massive. And you think about it, this guy has conquered everything in like the known world at that time. He's taken over it all. And then to celebrate, he builds himself this huge thing and says, hey, you have to worship this or you die. Yep, I know I just made it, but that's the deal. I'm the king, so I get to do what I want. Whew. Let's talk about some ego, right? I mean, this whole chunk, you could focus on him and focus on his ego because it is huge, just like his statue. He built this mammoth statue. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a decision to make, whether they are going to bow or not. Well, they don't bow, and then they are ratted out. So I don't know exactly what spurred on the ratting out, but if you read some of the verses, it talks about how they knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put in high positions over Babylon. So I wonder if there was a little jealousy there. But for whatever reason, they're ratted out, and now they have to go stand before Nebuchadnezzar. So let's take a look at that. Daniel, here we go. 3:13-14. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I mean, he gives them this second chance. I don't know if you've ever had this with maybe your parents or with your kids. You're like, hey, did you actually do that thing? But it's a little bit more because he's like the king of the world at the time and has the power to kill you right now, kind of a power. But he gives them that chance. They come before him and he says, hey, did you really do this? Oh, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you want to, the music's going to, I'm going to have them cue the choir here and they're going to chime in and start playing. And when they do, you have a chance. You can just show me right now. Just bow to him. You'll be good to go. Or else, you get burned up. This is their fire, right? This is the fire that is right in front of their face. I don't know if it's the biggest trial they faced, but it has to be a monster one to stand in front of the king knowing what can come. Now, I don't know what your fire is today, what trial, what problem you're in, but listen along and think of your fire as we're listening to their fire. Let's take a look and see how they respond to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. This is like their proclamation, their declaration, their huge statement of who God is to them, and what they're going to do about it. I hope that if I'm ever in a situation like this where I get confronted and my life's on the line, that I would be able to say the same thing, that I would be able to stand with courage like them, to be able to make this proclamation that they make. Actually, we have a little bit of a chance to do this, to make a small stand, to proclaim Jesus. And to say, I bow to no other. Baptism. Baptism is that small stand. It's not necessarily even a small stand, but it's a stand that you can make. Jesus gave us this example to follow. He was baptized. He gave us the example to follow, and he gave us a chance to do it. Proclaiming that he is God, taking this symbol of being cleansed by God through the water, giving up our old life and turning towards this new life and following Jesus. We get to do this, you get to do this in front of your church family. If you've been baptized, maybe for you it's going to be a little bit different. So I don't know if you've caught, in these past weeks we've shared a video or two of people sharing why baptism. Why did they choose to get baptized? They've been just short 1 minute videos, so not too long, and themselves shooting them. So we caught one, Tim Bauer shared one, he's one of the worship guys up here. And then we shared online on some of our social media one from a student, Crystal is her name, and she shared why she chose to be baptized. So maybe for you, those of you that have been baptized already, maybe it's jumping on that challenge and taking the challenge to share why you chose to be baptized in 1 minute, sharing a video of that online to encourage and to challenge other people. The best part of this chunk, I think, for me, of how they respond, is how they actually talk to Nebuchadnezzar. Let me go back to that part real quick. It says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and He will rescue us from your power." Confidence, right? They step in. They are confident that they will be saved. But the answer in a way right after this that I think is crazy. "But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear, Your Majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up." You see, even if God doesn't come through and save them out of the fire, they're like, we're still going to worship God. Even if God doesn't take you out of your fire right now, I hope that, and I want to respond with that. I want to worship God in the middle of the fire, even if he doesn't come through how I expect or want him to in that moment. That is awesome. That is a beautiful picture of people who are following after God with a sold-out heart. Now, I wonder that day if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a little tap on the shoulder. Don't do it. Give in. Give up. Now, my mind immediately goes back to, I'm going to date myself here, my mind immediately goes back to Emperor's New Groove. They've got two little guys on his shoulders, and one of them's telling the other one that he needs to do more push-ups or something like that. But anyways, it's not quite like that, but I imagine that there is a little tap on our shoulders quite often to tell us to give in. This week, I don't know if you've seen out back, we're working on a volleyball court out there. One of the ways that we're going to celebrate during the anniversary, have a little celebration volleyball. Anyways, there was a little pebble. No, it's not a little pebble. This pebble was more like about to my waist and about out to here, and it just keeps on going. I mean, we got out there, and we see the top of this thing, and it's unfortunately 3 inches down from where we started digging, which 3 inches of sand is not quite enough. So we were like, we're going to have to keep on digging. So we start digging, and we're like, let's just get the tractor. So we go over and we get the tractor, and we're like, we had maybe dug down about an inch. We're like, let's just see if we can budge it. It's probably not that deep. Dunk, doesn't move. Okay. So we start digging some more. We got our shovels. We're digging. We're like, man, we are just every strike hitting a rock. I'm like, we're not even on the bigger. What in the world? There's rocks everywhere. So I'm like, you know what? It's time. Have you used a pickaxe before? Great tool, love it. But man, my hands are ripped. I've got some blisters on both hands here that I don't know if they're gonna go. I hope they turn into those callus things at some point. But anyways, we're out there and we're like slamming on it, just bam, bam, bam. And every time it's like rock, rock, rock. Like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with this thing? How are we going to get this rock out of here? So we just had a small handful of us there trying to figure it out at that time. And we weren't getting there. We get down maybe, I don't know, 18 inches. And we look, we both, me and Pastor Justin at that time, we look at each other and we go, dude, I don't know. Maybe we're not doing a volleyball court. This thing is huge. I had a little tap on the shoulder at that point of, I think this boulder has decided it is going to be a boulder court instead of a volleyball court. We'll just have a nice little rock pit out in the back. We can, I don't know what we can do with it, but we'll do something else. So he comes up with this brilliant idea. He's like, hey, let me take a picture of it and I'll post it and we'll see what happens. Well, we do that. He does that and he gets 1.5 million comments. Thank you for all of the wonderful comments that you shared. Most of them were very helpful. And ended up though that, so we had planned a day, we planned a day yesterday to come and get this thing out of there. Well, we go to do it and it's out. Awesome. I get there that morning, I'm like, oh, thank you. No more, as I'm shaking from the pickaxe hitting the rocks. I'm done with it. This thing is out. It's awesome to be a part of a community. Somebody from our church stepped up, had a couple tools, and came in and just popped the sucker out of there like it was no big deal. That's how I'm imagining, because I wasn't there when it was popped out. So I assume they just lifted a finger and it went. But either way, we're super grateful for that, and that is the benefit of being a part of a community. It's something that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get a taste of. So I wanna take a second here, though. I want to think about being a community and how to step away from this tap on the shoulder. So we're going to take a look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It gives us a picture of what God tells us to do in this. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So again, I ask you, have you ever felt like there's a little person, somebody, something right by your shoulder whispering in your ear, give up? Well, the question is to you then, why not put a bunch of people on your shoulder telling you not to give up? To choose love, to choose to follow the Jesus that we know, to choose to be in that community, to find that support. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a community, a group to stand with, a small group to stand with. Do you? Now, I realize this is a difficult time, right? We're in the middle of COVID, and we're in the middle of social distancing. Even in here, we're socially distanced. But that's why we're thinking, we're trying to get creative for how to continue community. How do we be a church? How do we be a small group in the midst of this time? Because we need each other. God made us for community to be together. So this fall, I want to just give you the tip of my hand a little bit of what we got coming. We've got some virtual groups that will be opening up if you're not in a group, okay? Virtual groups that will be there that you can jump in, sign up, and be a part of. We've got some face-to-face. If you're ready to do face-to-face group, those will be an option as well. Not talking face-to-face right here, but face-to-face groups that will be available. If you're in a healthy group this year, maybe for you, it's mixing it, trying to keep that community, but maybe some people aren't quite ready to meet yet. So maybe you Zoom them or video chat them or messenger chat them into your group while you're having your group time. It's getting creative to see how we can do that. Now, the unfortunate part about sharing a message like this is that the people that aren't in community aren't going to hear it because they're not here, or they may not even catch it online. So this is where we as a community need to step up all the more to reach out to our friends, to people that maybe we haven't even seen in a while. I know we've said this before, but as a community, we can do that to reach people in the middle of this, because right now, in this time, it is very easy to feel isolated, alone, and separated. And so that's part of being the community, is to reach and to invite back, not in a guilt way, but just an invitation, because that's how Jesus does it with us. He invites us to come to be in community with him and come to be in community with each other. So maybe you've been in a rut. Maybe you've had the big boulder that you just can't get out. Or maybe you've got a fire looming ahead of you. So you know what it feels like. You need someone to help you out, to spur you on, like this verse says. That someone is Jesus. I know you thought I was going to say your group, right? That someone is Jesus. You need Jesus. And that's what this passage, I think, even points to, is you need Jesus. Now you get to be a part of that. We are a community, we are a group, and you get to be a part of that to speak words of Jesus to others, to encourage them. You get to be the means that Jesus uses to reach people. Now, the cool thing is, I don't know if you've seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think Groot, he's a tree. I'm going to show you a picture of him if you don't know. That's not Groot, it's the tree guy. But anyways, there he is. He gets it at one point in the movie. The whole time, I don't know if you know anything about Groot, so I'll just tell you, he says, he can only say three words. I am Groot. Exclusively in that order. Yes, that's taken from the movie as well. Exclusively in that order. That's all he says. Super cute when he becomes a little tree and he says, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot. Over and over again. But at this point in the movie, I'm not showing you the clip because it's really sad, but they are like crashing to the earth in the ship, and the only way that he can think to help them survive is to wrap himself around them and protect them with this big ball of vines. And he says something that he has never said before. He says, we are Groot. We are Groot. Maybe I should have said there's a spoiler alert earlier, but now you know. He says, we are Groot. Now, I might change it for us because I don't think we can be Groot, but I could say we are group. And this is where we can stand together like we saw him and be group. We need to spur each other on. I must say, it's been awesome as a church to be on the inside, to be able to see everything that you have been doing in our community and for each other. Now, I don't know if you've caught it, so I'm going to share some of these ways that we as a church have been loving on our community and on each other, because I think that this is a way to encourage each other. Now, some of these you might have caught, and some of these you might not have, but hopefully you can be encouraged as I am just to see the little Jesuses that we have in this church. We raised enough money to feed Mission Point. Mission Point is a nursing home, a retirement home up in Cedar that was hit hard right away with COVID. We fed them over 120 meals. We sent enough cards to the widows in our church family that they were opening cards over several hours or days. We encouraged Pastor Ron, our senior pastor, by sending him almost 80 cards of encouragement from all the families in our church. What a beautiful way to encourage him. I've seen people step up to bring non-perishable goods to over 40 different families in our community. We have members in the church currently fixing mailboxes, doing yard work for each other as others are sick or ill or can't do it in the moment. You have taken and made care packages for people that are in the middle of COVID, that are suffering from COVID and literally cannot leave their home. You've dropped them off and blessed them with that. Some in our church have made hundreds, and I know these people, so I say hundreds a little bit holding back because it might be more close to thousands at this point, but hundreds of masks for neighbors and frontline workers. You've sent gift cards to each other to care in moments of trial or just to help in a moment of maybe not having enough. Our kids team has sent out kids activities and notes to try and encourage the kids in our church. And we've had messages of encouragement. Now, I don't know if you've been blessed by our worship team like I have, But our worship team has done something that we haven't done before, and we've created a group of videos online for you to continue to worship, whether you're at home or whether you are here today, that you can listen in and still feel and be a part of our community, because they have created that those songs to be able to continue to worship at home. That's no easy task. We had people make benches. I don't know if you caught, but there's a couple benches outside for people to enjoy the blessing, the gift of this property. People have planted trees along the river, continuing to redeem the river. They've pulled out, we had a project to pull out a bunch of the concrete and other things that are left over from what this property was before to continue to redeem the property. We've served food to homeless and the disadvantaged community in Grand Rapids. And millions and millions, I'm sure, of other ways that you have continued to do it. These are just a few that I had heard of, but I'm so encouraged to hear that, because this is what you're doing as a church in our local community. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for spurring me and us on to continue good works. So how can we continue to do this? Join a group this fall and continue with your group for encouragement. And find ways to spur each other on. We have this new thing that we're starting, or a new way to continue to do this. It's called the Serve app. It's a little app that we are using that's from another church, but we get to use it as well. And we post all of our opportunities to serve. The other beautiful thing is that you can actually post an idea on there as well. So if you come up with whatever it is, whether it's a serving project here or somewhere else, you can put it on there and people can join and be spurred on towards love and good works. You can do this as an individual, a group, or a family. Now you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire that day. A fire so hot that it killed the people that were supposed to throw them in. It says that they tumbled into the fire because the people that were carrying them died. And when they were in the fire, let's just read it. You got to read this. When they were in the fire, verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement. He exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted. I don't think I said that loud enough. "Look, I see four men unbound walking in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." And we don't get exactly who it is there, but we know that this person is sent from God to be with them. Now, it's possible, like we said at the beginning, it's possible to feel alone in your troubles, in your fire, even in a group. But when it comes down to it, there is another in your fire. There's another in your fire. You see, you've got this church, you've got your group, or you will have your group that you can be a part of. But there's something that's even more important, and that's Jesus. This church or your group that you're a part of has that most important ingredient, Jesus. So I'm not asking you just to join a group, but I'm asking you to join a group with a fourth member, the key member, the reason we gather today. Join a group that is based and founded in Jesus, that has Jesus in the fire. Now, I don't know if you looked at this passage a little bit closer, but he could have just said, "Nope, I'm going to save you from the fire," picked him up, pulled him out, and been fine. But no, he entered into the fire with them. And you can't miss that, because that's our God. He enters into the fire with you, and he brings people to do that with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got that. If our worship team can come up, that'd be great. So today, as you think about this and as you look forward, we're going to have these online. We're going to have a way for you to sign up online. The groups are going to be starting up in September. You'll be able to sign up there, and we'll have cards here. But I want you to consider that, to be in a community where you have one that enters into the fire. Would you bow with me and pray? Father God, I thank you so much that you, or God, that is big enough for even the hottest of fires, that you're big enough for a big boulder, that you're big enough for people struggling financially, people struggling with illness, people struggling with a disease, that you are big enough that when a king tells me that I have to bow to something else, that you can save. And God, I pray over our church and I pray over our community that we could stand strong and that we could say, but even if you don't save us how I expect you to, I will worship you. God, I pray that you would be with each one here, each one listening in today, that they might have a community around them, that you might help them to find a community around them, and that you would remind them of your great love for them, so much so that you will send, that you will be in the fire with us. You don't have to be alone because we can walk and be with you, be in the fire with you. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word today and how it breathes life. God, help us to spur each other on to be like you, to spur each other on towards love and good works. God, you are a good God, and we love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.